welcome everybody to another wonderful, beautiful edition of Saturday AM Live. I say beautiful. Summer's actually finally hit the Pacific Northwest, right, Sherry?
Yes, it has, finally.
They're calling this Heat Wave 2010. You know, everything's got to be dramatic about something. I guess we haven't had heat, so, you know, temperatures into the 90s, so everybody's freaking out now, but it's absolutely gorgeous. I mean, I actually broke a sweat while I was sleeping last night. That was kind of unusual for me. So, first, but again, welcome everybody to the call. Our guest with us today, Sherry Edwards, we're going to jump right into that, but just a quick reminder, I'll give some announcements at the end of the call and all the information on how to catch the recording and all that good stuff. So let's get started here, Sherry. First of all, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Great to have you. Heard lots of incredible stuff about you from the folks in Spokane and actually a previous guest we had a few weeks ago, Wendy Shelley down in Phoenix, Arizona, has picked up.
Oh!
Yeah, has picked up what you're doing and been running with it. So tell us what a what an executive assistant like yourself would, for decades is what I've got written in my notes here.
Yes.
Well, we'll get into why you jumped on board, Nika, and what brought that about. But what was your interest in going into the world of, you know, corporate America?
Why I got in that in the first place? Well, I just kind of fell into it, I guess, like you fall into any other job. When I first started in an office, I had no office experience whatsoever, and somebody said, hey, you should come work here, and I said, okay, and they had to actually show me where the button was to turn on the computer. And the IT guy kind of rolled his eyes at that, I'll tell you. I was hired on my personality, I will tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
And even the gal that hired me said, I have no idea why I'm hiring you with no experience, but there's just something about you, and I'm going to take a chance. So that's kind of how I got into that whole thing, and then I just moved up quickly wherever I was, and ended up as an executive assistant. I was down in Tennessee for a while, and then we moved back to Spokane, and then went in the same line of work because it's what I knew.
Okay.
And then
was it the profession that took you to Tennessee, or what, your husband's career? Or?
Well, actually, I used to be a country singer.
Oh, wow.
And thought that I was going to be a star. And so I was, you know, we were doing well here, and we had our songs on the radio here, and so we thought, oh, the next step is moving down to Tennessee, of course. So I didn't have any kids yet. It was just my husband and I, so we packed up with no job, nowhere to live, no plans. We just packed up a U-Haul and drove to Tennessee, and it was actually about 6 months after I got down there that that my jaws locked up, and I started having so much pain in my jaws that I couldn't sing anymore. I had to quit. I couldn't even open my mouth more. I couldn't even get my pinky finger in between my front teeth, my top and bottom teeth, for over a month.
Wow. What brought that on?
They said it was TMJ.
Okay.
Severe TMJ. They said my discs were disintegrated.
Okay.
In my jaws, and they said there was one surgery that I could do at that time, you know, that was 16, 17 years ago. At that time, they said there was one surgery where they could go in and replace the discs. But what was happening to people is those discs were rupturing, and if they ruptured and it got in your bloodstream, it would feel like glass in your bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
And so I opted not to have the surgery and just live with the pain. So instead, I got a job in the music industry in an office.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being able to sing. And we stayed down there about 5 years. And then my husband got a transfer, and we moved back up to the Northwest.
Okay. So were you still dealing with the TMJ or the side effect symptoms of that when Nikan entered the picture?
Yeah. Actually, I was. It was after we had product experiences with my husband and with other things, and we got a bunch of products, and I had a necklace that I hadn't even gotten out of the case, as a matter of fact. I was keeping it very nice in case I wanted to lend it to someone. And then I thought, oh, man, I'm having this pain. I mean, I used to spend weekends in bed. But this particular evening, I was having a lot of pain in my jaws, and it would go up to my head and down my neck and down my arm. I mean, it would go everywhere just stemming from the jaw. And I thought, I wonder if that necklace works. So I took that and I put it on, and no kidding, in 10 minutes, all the pain was gone. And I thought, why didn't I do that before?
And it's been how long?
It had been at that point probably, well, over 10 years, 10, 15 years.
Okay, and you guys had been introduced to Nikki and how, weeks, months prior to that?
No, we'd been in probably a couple of years prior to that, and I just had never tried it. But we were product users, and I never tried that on myself. I was more worried about, you know, my husband, and I used the back flex. I had, you know, fractured my back at one point and everything, but I never had tried the necklace, never thought of it.
Okay, this is one of those little sidebars, or like over in the margin of the book that you'll see, you know, the quote re-quoted, you know, in bold print that, being a user of the product, or a product user, or a product of the product is the way we like to say it. When we buy these packs, it's always a good idea to go ahead and use them.
I know!
But I know exactly what you're doing, because how often do we say, well, let's just save that one, because we want to keep that one looking nice, just in case, you know,
yeah,
there might be that person, because, you know, what do I need it really for?
Yes.
Yeah, anyways, I've done it too many times, and all of a sudden, hey, we could use that. So what was it you mentioned about your husband? Occupation for him was?
Well, he was working in a warehouse, and what had happened to him, and he was driving a motorized pallet jack. So it's kind of like a forklift, only you stand on it. You're
behind
exposed.
It, yeah, we see him at Costco all the time as they're trying to take us out.
Yeah, those things. So he was on. He just had gotten on shift. He grabbed one. He unplugged it, hopped on it, and was going around a corner in the warehouse. And it was an older machine, and the brakes didn't work. And so when he was going around the corner, he couldn't slow down. He couldn't do anything. And his leg got crushed in between the pallet jack and these metal racks that go along the warehouse. And so his leg, both bones came through the front, and the calf was ripped off. It was kind of just... He almost had it completely taken off. It was barely there when they got him to the hospital. He'd lost 2/3 of his blood on the warehouse floor. They didn't think he was going to make it. He was in the hospital a month. He had 10 different surgeries. Then he went to St. Luke's for 3 weeks after that. And then he came home, and we had nurses at the house every day for 3 months. After that, to change the dressings in his leg, or around his leg. And then he had physical therapy for 18 months after that, and then he had job retraining after that. So that's kind of where we were when someone told us about Niken. And the doctor said he'd never be able to run again, jump again, stand on his feet for more than 2 hours at a time, and then he would need to put his leg up because he had severe swelling, severe pain. He had depression. It was just was not not a happy situation at all. And then someone comes to me, my sister, and says that magnets might help. And after, you know, I mean, I know now there's doctor people and there's alternative people, right? We all know that. We all run into those people. And if you run into a doctor person, it's very hard to say, hey, these magnets are going to help, and they're going to be better than anything that your doctor could have given you. And, you know, we are very, very thankful to the medical community for what they did. They saved his leg.
Sure.
They didn't know for a week after he came in if they'd be able to save it or if they had to amputate. They told us a few years down the road they probably still have to take the leg.
Wow.
Because of the swelling. They were very concerned about gangrene, the bones very close to the front where they put those two bones back together. I mean, it was, I could talk for an hour on what happened to his leg, but I won't. But so then for someone to come in to me and say, I think these maintenance can help, when we had the best, I mean, we really had fantastic doctors, great surgeons, great plastic surgeons, great, just the nurses, everyone was just over the top wonderful
sure.
to us. And then I'm thinking, what can a magnet do that these wonderful, fantastic doctors couldn't do for my husband?
And then you said the messenger was your sister.
Yes,
so
and my...
Yeah, so relatives, and we all know that our relatives don't know anything, right?
Well, not just a relative who had dropped me into about 5 network marketing companies before Anikin. And so the fact that it was magnets and network marketing was not very exciting for me.
Oh, yeah, you're causing a flashback 18 years ago.
Yeah.
I know the scene, Jesse. And everybody that's listening right now knows we usually have some sort of apprehension about, you know, the technologies or the industry or something. But
Yeah,
so... Okay, so Sis comes along, and
yes.
there are 5 others. And
so she talked to me. She happened to be at my house quite a bit at the time. They were building a house, and they were actually living in my house, so I couldn't get away from her, really. but I told her no probably 5 times. No, I don't want to look at it. I don't want to look at the business. I don't want to look at the products. I don't want to look at anything. Thank you very much. Good luck. I hope you do great. I really hope this is the one, but no, not for me, no thank you, several times.
Sure.
And then Chris Bruce came over, her upline, my upline, he's right under Dave,
mm-hmm.
and he's fantastic, he's a gold, and he came over and told us his story about his back, and if you've never heard Chris Bruce's story about what happened with his back and his injuries, you should have him on a call, because he is amazing. And I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. And so after hearing what happened to him, we thought, well, let's get some products. We might as well try some products.
Sure.
So we got some things for my husband, obviously. We got some insoles. We got a couple of super minis for either side of his Achilles tendon, because one of the surgeries, one of the 10 was cutting his Achilles tendon to try to lengthen and give him some flexibility. We got him a knee wrap because he had one of the surgeries was to put down rods into the bone. They had to go through his knee to put those rods down in there. So those were the sources of pain that he had. And then, of course, the insoles were for the circulation issues that they said that might help, and we
sure.
could check it out.
Sure.
So we got those things. My husband had... It had been, quite a while since the accident. He used to play basketball, and the week before we got our products, some guys from church asked if he wanted to come play basketball with them,
mm-hmm.
Which I thought was a very bad idea, but he wanted to go. He wanted to try it. He hadn't played for so long, and so he went, and he came home, and he could not walk the next day. He was in so much pain. He couldn't even get out of his bed. It was horrible. So a week later, we get our products. He's trying them on himself. He took a couple of the super minis. He was going to hold those on either side of his Achilles tendon while he stuck the wrap on.
Mm-hmm.
And as he was holding those, he actually dropped them and said, "Whoa." And I said, "Well, what is it?" And he said, "I felt energy go through my Achilles tendon." But he felt it right away. And he said it didn't hurt, so we said, "Well, put him back on." So he put everything on. He put the wraps on, he put the knee wrap on, he put the insoles in, he started walking around, and he felt that there was something happening, and he was so excited about what he felt, he decided he was going to go play basketball again that night to try it, because it was their weekly game. And so he went, and... he came home and said that he played the best game he's ever played, that he was able to go up and down the court, that he made all of the shots. He really felt fantastic. But for me, it was, what is going to happen the next day when he has to get out of bed?
Sure, exactly.
And he got right out of bed the next day. He said he didn't feel any pain. His leg wasn't swollen like it always was. And he wore the insoles to bed, too. Chris told us, put socks on, wear them to bed, don't take this energy away from your feet. So it's not like he just put them on for a little bit and he was healed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. and he's had them ever since. That's been years. And even to this day, if he takes them out for more than a couple of days, if he switches over, like in the summer, switches over to sandals and forgets to put them over in different shoes, after a couple of days, he'll say, I don't know why, my leg is swollen. I mean, I always know. He doesn't know all the time, but he'll look down and say, my leg is swollen, I can't figure it out. And I'm like, do you have your insoles in? So even today, he would have swelling and pain and not be able to do things he does today if it weren't for the insoles. He has to have that energy against him all the time.
And Sherry, but how many years?
It's been about 8 years now. He can run, he can jump, he works on his feet all day, he plays basketball, he runs with the kids. He can do everything they said that he would never be able to do.
And
he still has his leg.
And I just have to ask, and his age is?
He's 42.
Okay, so same age as I am then, exactly. So, okay, so that's a pretty profound turnaround and prognosis from exactly what you said, even, you know, the highly likely that the leg will have to be amputated even years later.
Right.
Which is always a possibility when you're going through an extensive surgery like he's experienced. Sherry,
right.
I have to ask, when when he's experiencing this, and you hadn't used the necklace, so it's still back at the beginning, and he says, you know, that he can feel the energy, and as Chris advised you, don't take the energy away from the body ever. What was going through your mind about this whole Niken thing as a business or as a company? Or, I mean, were you still skeptical?
Well, I thought about possibilities of it, but honestly, I was working. I was happy in my job. This is something else I want to tell people, because when they hear my husband's story, they say, oh, well, you know, if I had a story like that, then I'd be successful. You know, I just didn't have that big of a product experience. But you know what? That's not what got me doing the business, actually doing the business, which I know is weird, and you'll have people that have fantastic experiences, and they're still not going to go out and go gung-ho on the business. I was happy with the job that I had, and I was making the money that I wanted to make with the job that I had, and things were good. And so, you know, that's not what, it was great, it was fantastic, and I started telling some people about the products, but I did not build a significant business at all. In fact, I don't even know if I signed anybody up from that, you know, but I told people about it, and you know, you want to save the world sometimes, and you go and you lend products to people and say, hey, well, we have this. This might help you. But it, as a business, it didn't click because I didn't need a business at the time. And I've heard Dennis Williams say, you know, don't throw people a life preserver that are standing in needy water.
Sure. You got to increase the water level or, you know, make them want it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was not my product experience that caused me to have a Niken business. So I don't want anyone to use that as an excuse.
Sure.
If they haven't had a huge product experience, to say, well, sure, you could do it. Look at the experience you had. I just haven't had someone like that, or I haven't had it on myself, or forget about that. Because you can build a business if you decide to build a business regardless of your personal product experience.
Now, speaking of that, you can decide to build a business. You've had kind of a paradigm shift, if we can call it that, recently. That has really caused you to decide, hey, it's time to build a business, and I want to make this happen. Just you've gotten to the point where the job is no longer as fascinating, or is it still as much as you enjoyed it before, or just what brought that about?
Well, I remember specifically a point when I was in my office and I was working, you know, 60, 80 hours a week, and people would do, you know, the dump and run is what I like to call it, where they, as an executive assistant, you kind of do everything for everyone. So for them, if the deadline is Tuesday at 9 a.m., they get their work done Tuesday at 5 a.m. that then goes, 5 p.m. that then goes to me, that has to be done by Wednesday at 9 a.m. So, in other words, they take their pile of things, they stick it on my desk and go, whew, glad I made that deadline, and then they go home to their families while I am there putting everything together. I did things like the board presentations and, you know, a lot of PowerPoint and stuff like that. And so when they're getting things to me last minute, it means I still have to spend all night putting it together for the next day.
Sure.
And so I did that so much and so many times, and I saw everyone going home and enjoying their families but me, and I just remember sitting in my office, I have no idea who was sitting across from me, but I just looked at them and I said, my life is worth more than this.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, it was not about the money, it was about having time with my family and having a life. I always told people I felt like I was hurrying up to miss my life. You know, and that's, I had scheduled time to think. People would come to my office and I was in the middle of five different things and they would say something. I'd say, okay, I'll think about that on my drive home. I would schedule time to think about things to give them a decision the next day because it was way too much to do. So when I was home, what kind of mom was I?
Sure. Sure.
You know? And so at that point, I remember thinking, what if, you know, what if this business really worked? You know, I've sat on it for years, had it for years. But what if what they're saying really is true?
Sure.
What if I put forth the effort? What if I actually did the things that people say you need to do to be successful instead of doing one thing here and one thing there? What if I actually did it as a business? What could I do? Could I actually get out of this? And that became a very exciting idea to me, that maybe I could actually get out of that if I actually did what they said I should do.
Not the fear of the unknown, but the benefit of the unknown.
Yes.
Yeah. So what was it that turned it around? I think when we chatted a few weeks ago, you had said that if I just had a line or a statement to say.
Yeah, you know, and that was a while ago, you know, that I did that. And I actually quit my job after a year and a half of that effort and did fairly well with it. And then I still was looking for something with my group. Now I have a group to lead, right? And we're all looking for what to say. How many times have we been out? You know, you're in a job, and you're told what to do all the time, right?
Sure.
And then you get out of your job because you don't want to be told what to do, but you kind of need to be told what to do. You get out of your job, and you go, oh, my gosh, what do? I'm my own boss now. Just tell me what to say, and I'll do it. You know, tell me what to do, and I'll do it. And for me, just talk to a lot of people wasn't working. I think so many times, maybe that's the instruction that we get, is just go and talk to people. Just go out, or you hear testimonials. You know what, I just went out and I started talking to people, and all of a sudden, I was successful. Well, what do you say? That's so many times, I'm like, but what do they say? And that's the question, well, you got that great person in, what did you say? Now that we all want to know.
Yeah.
And so I thought, geez, if I just had one thing I could say to people that, you know, not my close friends or anything like that, but people that I'm out there meeting. Everyone goes out and they meet somebody and they walk away and they go, dang, you would have been great in VCAT. I just didn't know what to say. Or I just didn't have an opportunity. Or I just didn't, you know. And so one of my downline and I, LaVon, we were talking about Just a simple line, just a simple thing to say. And people have said this for years. I guess I just didn't pick it up. I'm slower. But people have said, you know, something can roll off your tongue that sounds natural to you, that feels natural to you. And we're thinking, well, what do we do? You know, we set, right now in this economy, what do? We set up people in home-based businesses.
Mm-hmm.
We give them an opportunity to make extra money. So that's what we say. When I meet somebody out there that seems like, you know, they're friendly, I say, hey, you know, when I set up people in home-based businesses, I don't know if you're interested in ever making any extra money. And I kind of look at them, and they go, sure. You know, but it's just someone, I'll give you a couple examples. Let's see, who did I meet this week? Just yesterday I was at, my son saw a little helmet at a yard sale. We were driving by, he's like, Mom, there's a helmet, right? So we stopped, we went in, he's looking at this helmet, and this guy, I look at around at everything, and everything on the table is like huge bulk of construction items, you know, like even light switch covers and screws and nails and things like that. And I said, oh, somebody must be a contractor. And he said, yeah, I was a contractor, you know, it's just really hard right now. So I had to get another job, and I'm starting that on Monday. Didn't seem very happy about it. And I said, oh, well, what are you going to be doing? And he said, well, you know, I'm going to be rehabbing some houses with somebody else. And I said, well, that's good. They're probably really lucky to have you. Yeah, it'll be good. You know, he's used to being his own man, right? He was his own contractor. Now he's working for someone else. And so I didn't jump on him right there because I still have time. My son's still looking at the helmet, right? I want to tell him something as I'm leaving because I want to leave him with a CD.
Mm-hmm.
And so right as we were paying for things, I said, well, you know, you're a nice guy. I set up people in home-based businesses to help them make extra money. I don't know if you're ever interested in something like that. And he goes, well, yeah. It's okay. Well, here, we're going to go. You know, you never have time, right? I got to go, but I've got a CD that explains what I do if you'd be interested in listening to that. Well, sure, yeah. Is it a CD threatening? No, you're giving him something. CD's not threatening. And so I got out the CD and I said, you know, listen to the first part. That'll tell a little bit about the business. If you're interested in that, go ahead and listen to some of the other tracks. Those are all testimonials on the products that we have so you can see if it's something that you can get behind. And I'll give you a call in a couple of days. And you know what? If you're interested, I'll get you some more information.
Uh-huh.
Great. Okay. And I took it. And then I said, well, give me your, you know, I get a pad out of my purse and get a pen, and I just say, give me your number, and I'll give you a call. And I just look at my, I don't even look up, I just get out my pen and my pad, and I say, give me your number.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, okay. And he said, this is my cell. And he gave me his cell phone number. How many people are anxious to give a network marketer their cell phone number?
Exactly.
Not, but I'm offering him a gift. Uh-huh. And that is the whole shift. Especially in today's market.
Mm-hmm.
We're offering people a gift, and we really do have something amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And it does, you know, there's, within that, there will be a gift of health, you know. And he said, oh, product testimonials? And I said, yeah, you know, I don't know. I said, I don't want to assume, but a lot of contractors have a lot of hurts. And he says, oh, I have a lot of hurts. And I said, oh, great. You'll be really interested. Go ahead and listen to this. And then I left. I didn't sit there and then go, oh, my gosh, my brother-in-law's a contractor, which he is. I could have said, my brother-in-law's a contractor, and guess what happened to him, and this helped his back, and this helped his, oh, my gosh, you're going to be so excited. Oh, and then another person, then I'd be convincing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't do that because I just want, at that initial part, I just want to get his number, and I want to get enough names to put in the top of my funnel. So I have those distributors out at the end. I mean, this is what it's all about. It's just, you always hear people say, if I could just get in front of enough people, if I could just have more names, I don't know, I've run out of my list, what am I going to do? You can get any name from anybody if you want it. You can get a name and number anywhere you go if you look for it. You really can.
Well, there's an aspect of reciprocation here, and as you're explaining, is that you've given him a gift, and expecting the reciprocation back. And I like the way you said it is your posture. You didn't even look up. You just looked at your paper, looked at your pen. You're expecting what you'd asked for because you'd just given him some. And that's kind of the way communication works. I mean, that is the way communication works, in that we expect it to happen. Don't, you know, hold our breath thinking, oh, what if he's, you know, gets guarded? You know, how fitting can it be? I mean, the garage sales are incredible, absolutely incredible places to network like this. You just kind of did them a service. You took off, you know, their hands some of their junk, you know. It's, you know, I hit one a few weeks ago, and I'm not a garage saler. And I saw all this kid stuff, and we're in the process of adding one more to our family. So I went right into the garage to this crib that doesn't have a tag on it, and I said, how much for the crib? She said, oh, it's not for sale. I went, shoot. It's the exact match of the stain of wood color of the dresser that we already have. And she said, oh, no, it's not for sale, but I'll give it to you. That's even better.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I was freaking. My brother was freaking. My nephew. We were having a good little freak-out session. But, you know, that bottom line of expecting the information that we want, that we need, so we can properly follow up. I'm curious, Sherry, when you talk about we set people up, set up people in home-based businesses, have you had somebody look at you with that deer in the headlights and go, oh, no, I like my job?
No, because they, I really haven't, but they don't hear that as much as they hear it. Then that's why I put that sentence first and the other sentence second. Because they hear the second sentence more.
And what was the second sentence?
I set people up in home-based businesses. Are you ever interested in making any extra money? And so they think all their, what they're answering, they're not answering whether they want a home-based business or not. I haven't asked them that. I told them what I do, and what I've asked them is, are you ever interested in making any extra money? And they go, well, yeah. They haven't said yes to my home-based business. They've said yes to I'm interested in making extra money. Of course I am.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why there's always a yes.
Yeah. And then the CD you're giving them is the beautiful compensation.
It's a combination, and I have it through Focus on Growth, but it's Rick Murphy on the first track saying, is this for you, CD? And I think that might be what they call it at Focus on Growth. You can just ask for the one that says...
And they've got the blue ribbon as well. I just looked.
Blue ribbon too. Okay.
Same thing. They just took Rick Murphy's you know, little message, is this for you? And it's about 8 minutes long, I believe, and put it at the front.
Yeah.
Right in front of Alice Thompson's, you know, testimony.
Yeah.
Now, do you ask people, or do you say, hey, go ahead and just listen to this whole CD. It's about an hour long. Do you give them any instructions?
What I say is, go ahead and listen to the first part, and a lot of times they'll say it's only about 8 minutes. But I said, this will be about the business, because that's what I just talked to them about, is the business. I haven't talked to them about products. So I instruct them to listen to that, and then I say, if that interests you, go ahead and listen to some of the other tracks. And I'll say sometimes, you know, there's about 14 other tracks. You can skip around. You can listen to some, whatever. But I'll say, go ahead and listen to some of the others. Those are testimonials of products that we have, so you can see if it's something you can get behind. So they're really still doing research. They've listened about the company, and now they're doing research to see if this is really something that I can put my whole heart into. So they can choose. They get to choose the rest of it. The only thing I ask them to listen to is the first part, and then, you know, the rest is up to them.
Okay. So how long have you been using those two statements, or the statement and the question, and what's been the track record so far?
Well, just, when did we start using it? Spring going into summer, something like that. I've had one person tell me no as far as giving me their name.
Uh-huh.
And I decided I didn't want them anyway. So... So that didn't matter to me. He said no with a bunch of excuses, and I thought, well, I don't want to anyway. But and a lot of the numbers just break out pretty normal as far as when you're calling people back. Now, what I will say is, when I call back, pretty average across the board. Almost no one has listened to the CD on the first call. You know, just expect that. A couple have. You know, a couple have. But almost no one, you know, oh, I really haven't had time. And so what I say to that, because I think that's a common response for most people, is what I say to that is, well, you know, I'm setting up my calendar for the week, and so if you could listen to that in the next 24 hours, that would be great, because if you're interested, I don't want to miss a time slot for you, so could you listen to that in the next 24 hours? And so that'll, you know, because I'm still helping them, right?
Sure.
I'm still helping. So that's a little bit that will help you get through that first call.
Sure.
You know, and then from there, either you're going to make the appointments on the next call, or there's going to be people that avoid you and just never call back. Mm-hmm. I mean, never answer your call. And that's fine. That's fine. But I've gotten some great people. You know, I've gotten some great people that... I don't know exact numbers. I'm trying to think. I should go through. That's what I need to do is go through the people that I've used this CD on and gone through how many people that I've gotten from that. But I've gotten some great people. I've had some great response. And the whole idea is putting enough people, you know, like Jeff M. Bruckham talks about putting people in that funnel,
mm-hmm.
and then the good ones are going to come out at the end. You just want more people in the top of the funnel.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's imperative that we understand, as I did use Dennis Williams' new presentation this week that he's modified from what the company has
mm-hmm.
given us, and I think it's in there, 1.2 or 1.3 billion people are our market potential in the 38 countries where NECIM is doing business, and I really appreciate the fact that we don't necessarily have to sponsor them all, but that's our market potential. There are going to be people out there that really... They may love their job. They may love the same thing over and over. And for some people, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because, however, with the market potential that we have right now, especially between the 55 to 64-year-olds who are tired, just so tired, as you expressed, my life is worth more than this. Preferring to miss my life. People are just... They're seeing that, hey, man, I'm going to be retiring in a few years. Why don't I do something I can pour my life and energy and passion into?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've got it. That's why it's so crucial that we, you know, as you did, offer them a gift. Looking forward, and I'm trying to be respectful of time because we've gone a little long here, but it doesn't seem like we've gone long at all because I've got half a page of notes in front of me. See, people don't know. They think, oh, you're so great in giving, you know, your time to do these calls every Saturday morning for your group. I'm like, forget the group. This is for me. So the group gets the benefit, but I get the benefit. So looking ahead, Sherry, because I haven't asked your rank, I haven't asked even asked your age, and usually I do that. I just ask your husband's age. But looking ahead to... expanding your organization and building it, has this been duplicatable, and do you think it'll continue to be duplicatable for you and your
company? Yes.
Okay.
It has. And that's the key. I mean, my people, and I've taken people out, and I'm silver, by the way, hoping to be gold by October, setting that goal. But my people have been able to just say that same line. You know, not everybody has the posture yet, but and that's something that's taught also. But yeah, my people have been able to go out, but I've taken them out. That's part of the process of teaching them is just take one at a time. Take them out with you. Take them shopping. Take them, you know, out in the bookstores and the malls and the grocery store with you and show them how to do the line.
Absolutely.
Just show them.
Absolutely.
You know, it's so easy. It's not like, you know, it'll work. You know, just show them how to do it, and then they see how easy it is, and then they can do it.
Well, especially the people that were introduced to NECIM with you asking that question and using that statement. It's kind of like, well, this is not rocket science, folks. This is how you got in. This is the same thing. And what's,
right.
What's fascinating is some of those testimonies on that CD are, you know, as old as Moses. I mean, they've been around a long time, and they haven't changed. And we saw that this week with the gentleman that recovering from a stroke just in the last, 7-8 months or so, that the product experiences will never change.
Mm-hmm.
What's changed in our culture is that we have a real necessity to set people up in home-based businesses.
Well, that's why we're not going to go out and look for, you know, the limping person or the person in the sling or the person, you know, those, the products, and I don't mean that to sound bad, like I'm not going to go help anybody, but the products are going to sell themselves anyway.
Sure.
That's what people need to understand. You know, the products are going to sell themselves anyway. They're, you're going to get those experiences anyway. They're going to tell people about, hey, this is a great thing, this might help you. That's all going to happen. But where the bigger need is right now is in helping people financially, which in turn will help you financially.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you want to go out and save the world, or do you want to build a business that really will allow you to help more people?
Mm-hmm.
And when I made that shift, that's that shift in my mind. I'm like, you know what? I want to build a business. I love these products. I love this company. Yes, I've been able to share it and help so many people and get great testimonials, but does that feed my family?
Sure.
You know, to feed my family, I need to build a huge organization, and then in turn I will help more people.
Yep.
So to build that organization, I need to lead with the business.
Mm-hmm. And, it, you know, and that's where it, a lot of folks think, well, how can I lead it as a business? I'm just getting started, you know, I'm not even a senior yet. I'm even barely even had a product experience myself, and yet, you know, it just doesn't matter. Because you really, really drove that point home. It was not my product experience or my husband's that got me excited about building the business. And,
yeah.
You know, that's a crucial message here that we need to tuck away and realize, okay, I don't know. Because I've told many people many times who have given me that response, oh, if I just had a fantastic product experience, like what happened to your grandmother, what happened to your folks, and I've looked at them and said, well, just make one up. You know, nobody will know. Why? Make up a doozy. You know, about now your left foot grew out 12 inches. And they usually look at me with the same response you're having. But it really doesn't matter. I mean, my mom never opened up a yogurt restaurant because of a passion and love affair for frozen yogurt. You know, it's not the product. It's the business. It's something, the entrepreneurial spirit. And we, again, now more than ever before, in our culture today, just in the United States of America, we have the necessity, we have the need, this greatest vast of people that we've ever experienced before. And they're just kind of ripe for the picking. So, Sherry, thank you so much. This has been...
Thank you!
This has been so much fun, and I know, I absolutely know that our regular listeners are going to bombard me, but it's been fantastic. So, Sherry Edwards, is it Spokane, Washington, correct?
Spokane, Washington, or Newman Lake, right outside of Spokane, and if anybody has any questions, I know we haven't had time, but I will give my number if anyone wants to give me a call. It's 509-496-3187. So if they haven't had time to ask a question, they can certainly call me.
Well, thank you so very much. I wasn't even expecting that, but I know that...
No problem.
You'll probably have a few folks ring you up that understand what you're talking about, but there's something else, kind of a missing link that they may need to put into the puzzle, because it seems to happen on a regular basis as we continue to refine our skills as being a network marketer. There are things that we need to, you know, tune and, you know, tweak a little bit. So, thank you again. I'll let you get into your day and look forward to seeing you soon at an event.
Thank you.
You know, I'm surprised we haven't crossed paths yet, both in the Northwest, but it'll...
We will, but I was excited to get your call. I thought, wow, Vance Rogers is calling me. First, I know your name, but now he knows mine. That's cool.
So, again, Sherry Edwards from Spokane, Washington has been our guest, and if you want to go back and listen to the recording, it's simply www.saturdayamlive.com, That's where it's at. And if you want to catch a recording of it and put it on CD, just call Blue Ribbon Video, and they'll make that happen for you. And give Steve a couple hours or so to get it up on his website. But this would be a great tool if you have people that are in your group that they're missing that link. They're missing that, how do I do this? Send them to the recording, and I think it's incredibly, I look back over the time that we spent on Sherry sharing her story, and I think it's incredibly apropos that the point was made. It's not the testimony, it's making the decision, and that's what really needs to happen. So check that out.